Today's talk is called The Journey Toward Enlightenment. And the journey is always fun and easy. We like every part of the journey. Because we're wise and we know it's all on purpose, so it doesn't upset us ever. So if you notice, the quotes are from unlikely authors that you would find in a church. I mean, when's the last time you went to a church and they quoted Marilyn Monroe, Mae West, and Charlie Chaplin? But there's a reason why I did it. Because what is within you and I is within everybody. And part of this journey is understanding that, and understanding that we're all mystics. When we were down in Florida a couple of weeks ago, we went to a Unity church, and they had a guest speaker, and I love one of the things he said: we're all mystics. Some of us are optimistic, and some of us are pessimistic. I thought, but the truth is, we're all true mystics. We all have within us a teacher, a guide that's helping us along this journey. But a lot of times we're not giving it the silence or the space or the ear, the inner ear, or the spiritual eyes to see this mystic moving us along and teaching us the opposite of what our personality is teaching us. Our personality, our ego might be saying, this is really bad. It's like, no, you're going to be fine. This fell apart because something better is coming in its place. Marilyn Monroe got that. She said, all the right people are showing up, and even if things are falling apart, they're actually falling together. Well, you would say, well, her ending didn't turn out so well. Now, did it? It's a big scandal. But that's because we believe in her ending. When we see ourselves as individual glasses, individual something filled with water, with the water of life, when we see it as individual, then what creates the outer material is birth and death. That's what contains it, birth and death. Therefore, it looks like it didn't turn out so good for her. But if you take Marilyn out of her glass and pour her back into all that is and understand that was all that really was, then you see that there was no ending at all. And that's true for all of us. I've noticed on my spiritual journey, one of the things I've really, really noticed that's going on is a dismantling of my ego. And I think that's true of a lot of us. I think that's a lot of times why we were built and brought into here in a situation that felt like shame. We were ashamed of where we lived or what our parents did for a living or the clothes that we wore or that we didn't have both parents or that we didn't have any parents or something that happened to us. It's all about what if anybody found out what happened or who I really am. And so it seems like as we move along on the journey, it's about letting go of more about worrying about what everybody thinks about all the time, letting it go. What if you didn't care about what anybody thought right now? What if you didn't care about what anybody thought right now? What would it do to the situation that you're in? What if you didn't need a reflection from somebody else or attention from somebody else to just know that you're all that is? What if you didn't have to get on a pedestal? Right off the bat, I knew as I went into this, I am going to be known as the irreverent Reverend Dana. I'm going to mess up. And if I fall off a pedestal, it wasn't because I put myself there, because none of us should be on a pedestal. People are trying to put themselves up on it, and they're trying to put other people up on it. And that's what's getting in the way. We're admiring the glass and not what's within the glass. This is really interesting because also when we were down in Florida, we learned how to play, well, they taught me how to play two card games. One's called Kings in the Corner. The other one's called Seven Up or Sevens or something like that. I'd never, in 63 years, never learned those two card games. I learned them and I come back to St. Louis and a friend of mine, her daughter calls and says she's been in the hospital for a week and she's at home now, but she's not supposed to drive. She's not supposed to cook. It's like, oh my gosh. So I call her. She sounds fine, a little fuzzy a little bit, but she's doing fine. She's on the mend. So I said, well, I'll take some dinner out to you. So I take dinner out to him, and I'm sitting there, and we eat dinner. And I said, so what do you guys do now? I guess I'll go. What do you do now? Well, we play cards every night. You do? What do you play? Kings in the Corner and Sevens. So I was able to sit there and play Kings in the Corner with him till 9:30. It's like, I got to go, guys. I have to get up. You know, I got to move. I got to drive all the way back. So I thought, what great coordinator decided that the week before I go out to visit with them, you need to learn Kings in the Corner and Sevens? Why now? Why right then? And she loved it. We had so much fun. So when I called her the next day, how did things go at the doctor? She said, great, when are you coming back out? I said, well, I'd love to come back out and play cards with you again. She said, how about tonight? Because we had so, she goes, that was so much fun. It's just very interesting. But as we're playing cards, I'm noticing that they're missing some of the plays. So as they're ready to say, okay, I don't have anything more to play, I'll say, are you sure? I'm nudging and nodding. You really? Yeah, I'm sure. What's wrong with you? It's like, okay. So then I go to the next person, to Royal, and it's like, are you sure? You know, and Royal looks at me and just says, you will never be the good that you are in this world till you love yourself more than anybody else. And I thought, well, that's a weird thing to say. Are we still playing cards? Because I thought we were playing cards, and I was just trying to nudge you. Another way of saying it is, when you understand what you are and what you bring to the table, you playing small so that somebody else can feel better isn't going to serve the good that you bring into the world. There's no reason for you to feel small. But there's no reason for you to feel that you're better than anybody else. But we want a fair game here. We want a fair game. We want everybody to play their part just the way they play their part. We want to understand where the good that we bring to the table comes from. One day, Harry called me. He's not going to like that I just said that. And he goes, Dana, you know, it's really nice that people come up and thank me for how good the sound system is and how they can hear it downstairs. He goes, but I don't know what to say. It's really hard for me to receive this information. I said, Harry, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know what that feels like. And Pat Brand helped me out with it. She, whenever she would thank me for something, she knows now to say, thank you for saying yes. Because isn't that what it is? Thank you for saying yes. And when people tried to thank Jesus in the Bible stories for the miracles that he was able to perform, he didn't say, well, thank you very much. I'm pretty special. Too bad you're not as cool as I am. God loves me more. And that's what this is about. No, he said, it's not I that does this. It's not the I It's not the ego that does this. It's what is within me that does this. A master teacher at pouring himself out of the glass and into the all that is. And that's what we do. Whenever we're confronted with shame or what is everybody thinking, one of the things that really helps me is to pour myself out of my glass and into the all that is. It's the glass that's worried. It's the glass that cracks. It's the glass that chips. It's the glass that can break. It's just the glass. But we don't need the glass. The glass is just the container we're poured into when we come in here. An individual expression of all that is. And we say yes to how that individual expression wants to come forward. And when somebody says, thank you, Joe said, say thank you. Pat says, thank you for saying yes. He says, say thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's okay to receive. It's okay to give. But it's not okay to believe that you're all that is when you're in the glass. To remember where the breath comes from, where the heartbeat comes from, where all of nature, where all this intelligence, where all this coordination comes from. That's what we're learning on this spiritual journey. We're learning to drop a life that's built upon a glass and instead build a nest for our soul. How different would that nest look than the commercials we see on TV? What would we fill the nest with? Peace, joy, love, understanding, compassion. We'd want a life that had that in it. Not competition, not envy, not jealousy, not anger. It's okay that we have emotions like that. They're wake-up calls. They're the perfect last straw. They're the discomfort. They're the dis-ease in the body. They're good wake-up calls. It's guidance. It's on our journey. That's what makes us let go of something. Let go of a job that is no longer in alignment with our truth. And believe that as we pour ourselves back into all that is, that what is supposed to come next will come forward. It's a wonderful, peaceful way to live life. It's very scary in the container. It's very freeing in the eternal all that is. As we take a breath, we could say to ourselves, of my own self, I can't do this, can I? That I could actually just listen to my breath and learn so much and ask it, where do you come from? Who sent you? And while I'm here, I can say yes to this physical experience and I can bring forth the gifts that are in me, and they may not be gifts that have money attached to them, but they may. But I show up doing my part. That's all I need to do. Allow it to express through me and say yes. And when somebody says, I so enjoy you, say, thank you. I'm glad I enjoy you also. And I'm so glad that you showed up on my path. I thought it was funny that Mae West says, to err is human, but it feels divine. And I thought, it's true. When we make a mistake, it feels so human, but in reality is so divine. It really is. She also said, though, whenever I'm stuck between choosing between two evils, I usually choose the one I haven't tried before. I think that's true also. We do. It's like, okay, I did that. That didn't work out. Now I'm going to go try that. You know, and sometimes that isn't right either. And so it's interesting. When we see our lives and our existence as more as a circle than a line, when we don't have a beginning and an end, when we are part of the infinite, everything changes. Our story, our motivation, why we're here, what we're doing while we're here, it changes everything. We don't have the same agenda. We don't build the same home for ourselves. And that's why as people evolve and as they move on their journey, they think, if I get all this stuff in my nest, I'm going to be happier. And then for some reason they say, now that I'm getting older, I really want to lighten up. Everybody keeps saying the same thing. And what they're really saying is, I thought all this stuff was going to make me happy, and it didn't, and I find that having less stuff makes me happier. That's guidance. Every aspect of our life is guidance. It's happening everywhere. The day that he called me to say he had a hard time with the compliment, I said, did you read that Louise Hay affirmation thing that I gave you for Christmas? Do you know what today's affirmation is? He goes, no. Let me read it to you. It said that compliments are a sign of prosperity, and we should be gracious and learn to receive them. Something like that. On that day, I'm sitting in the kitchen talking to him, looking at it, and he's telling me I'm having a hard time taking compliments. That is happening all the time if we pay attention. We have musicians here, and I will say that there's certain musicians here that play well with others. That's because they know where their talent comes from. Lynn was telling me that when they were starting up Salt of the Earth, they were auditioning different musicians. And somebody said, where do these songs come from? Like the songs that she's been singing this morning that Lynn writes and composes and plays. And Jake the cellist went like that. When she conveyed the story, she goes, Jake gets it. He gets it. Where does it come from? Pour ourselves into it. Thank you very much.